Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Good morning, KJZ. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Alan Hunt in for Zubin. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And guys, last night, I didn't even realize there was a draft lottery. For the first time in a very long time, the draft lottery didn't mean much to me. It didn't matter. And it was a very relaxing, tranquil feeling to not have to worry about those damn ping pong balls bouncing the other way as they have for so many times.
Congratulations, Alan.
Yeah, it was a bit of a victory for me, Jay. I felt good, you know. I think I needed it.
That's what happens when you guys finish fourth in the East.
Yeah.
This year.
Yes, this year. So I didn't have to worry about it this year.
No, it's good. It's good.
Still have a couple of draft picks in the first round, but none of them are lottery. But the draft lottery did happen last night.
I will tell you, though, Alan, last night as I'm watching the draft lottery, because we did an hour show leading into the draft lottery, it came down to the last two picks, and it was between Houston and Detroit.
Yes.
And when I tell you, I was standing next to Jalen Rose, who is one of Detroit's finest.
Yes.
When Detroit got the first pick, all I know is I turn around, Jalen Rose is then gone, and he's at the bar and bought 50 shots for all Phoenix Suns fans. He was in that kind of celebratory mood. And it was incredible to see an organization. I mean, when you just think about the history of Detroit, just struggling for so long, Dwayne Casey and company, it's just the fact that they got number one pick. They're going to get Cade Cunningham, who's an absolute star. He's a bona fide first pick in the draft, played for Oklahoma State. The kid can score from anywhere on the floor. Under comparisons to likes of Jason Tatum and things of that sort with the style in which he plays. But they're going to get an absolute star.
Well, it's their first. How about this for the Pistons? It's been a long time, right? And we all know about the Darko Milicic pick, where they had a chance to get Melo in 03. That didn't happen. But they haven't had a number one pick since 1970. Mm. Think about that. Bob Lanier out of St. Bonaventure. Whoa, stand up. So, you know, for the Pistons, yeah, I mean, it's a franchise for them. Now, they have been, you know, a wayward franchise now for too long after having a great run in the first decade of this century. They were wonderful. From 2000 on, they were great during that part of the that decade. But in this decade, no, not so much. So for them, they get the number one pick. The Rockets end up with number two. They were really bad last year as well. How about the Cleveland Cavaliers? I mean, they just always seem to be another top three pick. I mean,
even when they had LeBron, it was like, they keep
getting these picks. Yeah, amazing. Raptors get four. That'll be great for them as they get to actually play home again, and we'll see what kind of impact that has. They don't have to be in Tampa anymore. Orlando Magic get five. OKC get six. Warriors get that pick from the Timberwolves. So the Warriors are going to have a top 10 pick. They're going to pick seventh. Magic from the Bulls, it's eighth. Kings get the ninth pick, and the Pelicans get the 10th pick, and Swin Cash had quite the reaction when she saw the Pelicans did not move up in the lottery. But, you know, it's funny you say Cade Cunningham. A lot of the experts do. You know, I know you're obviously very close to the college game, but, I mean, is Jalen Suggs a guy that might be closer to being an impactful player in this draft?
Yeah, I mean, depending upon what your needs are, but I talked about that last night. Look, he's not this player, but there's similarities, and I think providing context around that is important. There are Jason Kidd elements to Jalen, right?
Wait a minute.
6'4", strong guard, can get to where he wants to go all the time, high basketball IQ, can score at will pretty much based off, you know, picking his spots, but he's a bona fide leader.
Yeah.
So
we saw that
I'm with you
four.
On that, Alan. I think he can make an impact on the franchise. Another guy, and you'll start hearing his name a ton, Scotty Barnes.
Yes.
You know, the ceiling and upside for him is potentially the best in the draft. I mean, there's like a Giannis length to him. But he's still – we talked about it to Leonard Hamilton on our show about it. Still having more guard responsibilities is something that they kind of flirted around with this year. And the talent for him is literally off the charts.
How about what Leonard Hamilton is doing, by the way, down there?
Terrence Mann,
I mean,
Scott,
they
just
– that has become an NBA factory. And it doesn't have to be a top five pick. I mean, they are sending guys into the league who are ready to play, and they're not all one and dones.
Because they defend.
He's doing a tremendous job there. Yes.
They defend. And they're two-way players. And you're like, wow, I can get a guy who's 6'5", 6'6", who can defend multiple spots on the floor, but also offensively isn't going to lack the skill set to participate in the offense. That's a dream come true for coaches.
To be useful in some way.
When you think about it, though, Jay, you talk about the top picks in the draft. Jalen Green, what's going to happen with him come draft time? Is it going to be a red flag issue? Because you know the narrative. Oh, he quit on his team, blah, 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 blah.
But he's already played pro ball in the G League.
Yeah. Well, see, I think key what happens now is as we're finding out more about college basketball into the future, we have other leagues that are coming about. We have the G League. I think the G League was imperative for guys like Jalen Green this year, who got a chance to have professional training, got a chance to have professional just basketball instruction and learning the pro game. Right. For the Unite. Now, I think that's a huge thing. And, you know, Troy Weaver, who is the GM of the Detroit Pistons, gets a chance to spend multiple weeks with players in the G League bubble. So that's not something a lot of GMs or scouts got a chance to do in the college rankings this year because of all the different pandemic restrictions. Whereas the G League, it was a different situation.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see also Evan Mobley from USC if his – I think his game will transfer to the NBA because in college
but he still might need some time. Though. It was like that's one I wouldn't want to rush. I see, and that's where
that's the college system game. I'm telling you, it's the college system game because I've watched him grow up in Los Angeles.
I know you're close to that.
Seen him, and I'm like, but I think he'll be a better pro than
he
was
in college. He's that perfect in the right situation kind of guy, which is why I hate the draft. I hate it. I think it's just you send
a
kid
to
a play. No, you got to. There's got to be a better way than the way the draft is.
What's a better way?
We got to figure that out. I have ideas, but we don't have time for me to go into that. I'm just saying that the problem is a player can go to a place and he could have potential, but if he goes to the wrong place and doesn't have the support system, the coaching, whatever it is around him, he might never reach his potential, and we would lose a player.
How you going to fix that? It doesn't matter.
There's ways.
But that's the problem, though, Alan.
That's another show.
If you're going to get drafted high, you're going
to a
bad team.
Yes.
Not always.
Dude,
you're
not always. If you're lucky,
you're going.
If you're James Wiseman, you get lucky to go to Golden State.
Well, okay, but
they're talking about James Wiseman potentially.
But think about
not
it,
necessarily
though,
going to a bad franchise.
Think about it though, Jay. Golden State, as much as we love Steph Curry, they were a bad basketball team till he got cooking. They were a bad basketball team.
Yeah, they were
not a bad organization.
They were a treadmill team that just never really could build anything.
Not a
and then
bad
they got him and Clay. They had a bunch of drafts in
a
row.
Bad basketball
that
team.
Set them up. But it
how
just
about
it
Devin Booker.
Them.
Devin Booker to
but
Phoenix.
How many places? What are
but
some franchises
changed,
where
man.
High draft picks basically go to just disappear? Orlando. They've had a ton of high draft picks.
But I think that's more organizational than it is.
But that's my point.
Yeah, but you
but
go
Alan,
somewhere
not
and
how
you just
fix it, Alan.
Well, because we don't
yeah,
have time. We don't have time.
No,
we
that's your excuse.
No, it's
that's
not an excuse.
We have a long
we
block here.
Do not, we have,
well,
we
don't
have legs
have,
coming up in like 2 minutes. We got to get to
true.
Him.
Yeah, we save time for
and we got some
sure.
calls I want to get to. Look, this is those summer evergreen kind of conversations that we can get into, and I'd be glad to take an entire segment called Han Solo, and I will tell you how I would completely reform.
He's
the
trying
draft.
To go solo already.
Yeah. Already.
Oh, man.
See, this is what happens.
I'm sorry.
Oh,
but you could take Stephen A.
Brown.
You could do
Edition.
You could take Stephen A's
you're
list off
like
the first
Bobby
take,
you're just like Bobby Brown
though.
With New Edition. All of a sudden, we give you an opportunity to replace Ralph Tresvant, and then you want to go on your own.
It's my prerogative. Keyshawn J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Let's take Javier in Phoenix. You at the game last night, Javier?
He was out.
Yes, Jordan. Good morning.
What up, Javier?
Is it Javier or Javier?
Javier.
Javier would be if I was from New Orleans, but I'm from Arizona, so it's Javier, buddy.
Yeah. Javier.
Oh, okay. Javier.
Can I call you Javi? It'll be that close.
Yeah, you can call me Javi. That's all right. I'm just
Javi, you lost
on.
Your voice,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I can't hear
you.
Yeah, you're struggling.
The game?
Yes, sir. The reason I lost my voice, I was at last night's game, okay? I was losing my mind last night, And because of last night, I got two things from Mr. Williams. First, during halftime, or actually a little bit before halftime, I went out, found an ESPN little crony, and asked the man if I could meet Mr. Williams, and he flat out told me that Mr. Williams is too big for me. So that's what I got to say to Mr. Williams about that now.
I'm sorry.
Jay,
how did you say that?
Jay did that?
Hold on. It's all love. No.
Wait.
Come on, man.
Jay gave you the Heisman?
He straight up gave you the Heisman.
That's what it felt like.
Wow.
I didn't get a chance. I was looking for you.
I was about to say.
I was going to say, like, you didn't. I took a lot of pictures of people yesterday.
What's that?
Jay Rose and Stephen A. Smith and I took a lot of pictures of people yesterday. I didn't see you at the game.
Not Javier.
Oh, man. I don't know where. I didn't find you, I guess. So that's on me. But, anyways, my real question for today is DeAndre Ayton. I really want to know for D.A., I'm kind of new to this game, you know, so I don't really know, and I don't want to, you know, put you back in that ring, Mr. Williams, but I got to. If you're to compare DeAndre Ayton after tonight's game to a potential great, who would you compare him to as a big man? As a big man, because I think that right now DeAndre Ayton, especially after last night's game, boy, he proved so much, especially for not having his field general, you know, out there. Everybody, you guys step up like that without having your star player. I mean, Mr. Williams could attest to this. How was the energy last night, man? Like, you were on fire.
Javi, I got to tell you, I haven't visited an arena as loud in the NBA as I saw last evening and the evening before. I told Stephen A. and I were talking about this. It felt like I was in a college arena for an NBA game. It was wild. Mm. And as it relates to your question about DeAndre Ayton, you know, I hate just giving one comparison. There's like two greats. I'll give you two greats and kind of combine their skill set, okay? There's kind of like a Sean Kemp element to him athletically, because of how he's built and how he can jump. But there's also kind of like a Dave Robinson skill set to a degree with how he can kind of turn, face, knock down that mid-range jumper, which he did last night, and just the dexterity around the rim, right? So it's not one. There's always a combination of what something looks like and feels like, but I would say those two kind of morphed together would be the ceiling that he could reach potentially.
I think Javier is gone.
Mm. That's a shame, though, that you didn't let him take a picture.
You said the rain, man?
What are you talking about, Alan?
No, it's
he didn't even get to me. I didn't even see him. Look, see him once again, Alan, creating false narratives.
People like that, man. Come on, man. I taught you better than that, Jay.
All y'all, man. False narratives.
You're supposed to speak to people when they speak to you.
All right, well.
You're supposed to say hi, thank you, I appreciate it. Thank you a lot.
More on the game last night, as it was an epic
finish. I wouldn't be here without you. All that, man. Come on, Jay.
Tim Legler joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline, and he'll let anybody take a picture with him, right, Legs? That final play, though, as we'll discuss a little more in length, of course, about the reviews and everything else, but just on that final play, the execution, as I've talked about, just how, you know, just if you're a coach, just the perfection of that, because it goes beyond the catch, even the pass, the screen, the decoy, like all the things that had to happen and had to go right. Was that as close to a perfect, you know, side out play as we could possibly see?
Yeah, look, I've drawn up a lot of baseline out of bounds and sideline out of bounds plays in my life. And, you know, this is a dream scenario if you get it to work like this, because let's think about all the things that had to happen. Okay, first, let's start with the fact that Paul George misses two free throws. So that changes now the narrative about what you have to get during the timeout, right? So it's different if you're down three. It's going to completely change what you're talking about here. So the fact that it was a two-point game or a one-point game in this case, the fact that you can still draw something up that where the rim pass is a threat, that gives you more options as a coach. Let's start there. Secondly, when Bridges misses the corner three, if that ball hits the rim and goes up in the air, like most deep three-point shots are prone to do,
game over.
The game is over. Mm-hmm. If you look at that shot, it's very strange. It hits the rim, and it caroms directly in a straight line to the other side of the rim, and then it's deflected, and it bought them 0.9 seconds. If that's a normal miss where the ball ricochets, game's over. So that's another thing that goes right now. Let's get to the play. Yeah, you draw it up, but the one thing you don't know is where is the guy on the ball going to be positioned? And as it turns out, DeMarcus Cousins gives him a perfect sight line to throw that ball in the one place he could throw it for DeAndre Ayton. And, you know, I'm not trying to beat up on Boogie, but he has to be more aware that that ball absolutely has to be funneled out to the three-point line. You cannot give Jay Crowder a direct passing lane to the rim. And that's exactly what he did. And, you know, Jay Crowder, the last part, the precision with where that ball was thrown. Look at Zubac. He's right there. It's just that Ayton's elevator goes to one floor higher than Zubac's, and he's able to catch it and put it in. So many things go into it. And then the Clippers contribute a little bit there because of their positioning.
Legs, I literally was talking to Allen about the positioning of Boogie Cousins during the break about that. Like, it just the lack of being present in that moment to shade the rim with that size and length. That pass should never get there. But last night, the last part of the game, being there on the floor, it felt like it took an hour. And I'm curious to get your reaction off what Jeff Van Gundy has said in Scott Van Pelt interview, just about how he felt during the last stoppage of the last hour or so of the game. So, Legs, I guess, you know, when you have a chance, when that last play is being reviewed, to huddle with your team, to draw up an out-of-bounds play, you know, what are your thoughts on that? Should teams be allowed to huddle and draw up those plays? I know it's common in basketball, but should we allow that moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying that ever since they put the review in, because this is not the first time it's happened. This is a big stage, and this could be a series-defining moment. And to give somebody that much additional time where you think through something, maybe change personnel, like, you know, you're about who's going to inbound the ball, who's coming off. There's so much time to get it perfect and for guys to have more time to process what you're saying. You know, in a normal timeout in that situation, it happens pretty quick. And everybody's got to be so dialed in, and the atmosphere in there is a lot of pressure. So now just think, when you expand that, you're just allowing a greater opportunity for the team that's trying to execute that. To me, it's a significant advantage for the offense having an opportunity to stand there longer and huddle up and really go over this, as opposed to the defense, because defenses are going to be reacting to everything in that moment, whereas the offense is completely requiring execution and everyone totally understanding their role to be able to do it to perfection the way that they did. So, yes, I do think it's something they need to look at. You know, if keeping the players away from the coaching staff while these reviews are going on, if it's not part of the timeout. So it's unfortunate. It took a long time. Some of these calls were so important. They had to get those right. I think they got every single one of them correct. So you do like the fact that they didn't miss anything, but it definitely gives Monty Williams more time to be able to perfect that.
With Chris Paul looking to return, Legs, does it give you more confidence that the Suns can win it all?
Yeah, look, I think Phoenix Suns are a complete team. They've got great role definition. They've got tremendous guard play that can take over games at any time. The key for me is the emergence of Ayton and Bridges. Those are the two guys that have put them in this position, because now you've got two guys that play both ends of the floor. Bridges is now a pretty reliable three-point shooter, big-time defender, and then Ayton. You know, you're not a complete team unless you've got at least one big that can punish you, particularly when you're Tyronn Lue and the Clippers and you want to play these smaller lineups. You know, Rudy Gobert was lost on the defensive end of the floor at the end of that series, as we saw when the Clippers went off from the three-point line, had nobody to guard, and then he wasn't making a pay on the other end of the floor because he's not that kind of player. DeAndre Ayton is. This guy's 22 for 29 from the field in two games. He is going to hurt you if he does not have somebody matching his size and athletic ability in front of him. So I look at the Suns, they're well coached. They've got great chemistry. They've got tremendous guard play. It is a guard-oriented league. And then they've got phenomenal role definition, each of those other guys. They know what they're on the floor to do. They accept that, and they fill that role perfectly.
Legs, we've got Bucks-Hawks now in the East starting tonight. What are you expecting from that series? And should the Bucks now be that team that we say, this is the team that now should say, we got the window open for us to win it all?
Yeah, look, if you don't get it this year, I don't know when you're going to get it. And I'm not trying to slight any of these other teams, but look at the path that the Bucks have had. They got a depleted Nets team that they took out. It took them 7 games to do that. They're not going to have to deal with a healthy Lakers team in the finals. You didn't even have to play the number one seed in Philadelphia. Atlanta did that work for you. So if you're the Bucks and your three best players are healthy coming in, and who can say that in the postseason? None of these teams can say that. The Bucks can. This is the year you got to get it done. I do think they're favored significantly in this series. I'm not going to disrespect what Atlanta has done, but the Milwaukee Bucks are a better team. They've got more talent. They've got, I think, more star talent at the top. And this is going to be a very difficult defensive matchup for Atlanta to try to get enough people and size and bodies in front of Giannis in this series, particularly the way that Jrue Holiday has picked up his aggressiveness. I love the way he's playing right now. He's thinking more like a star rather than a complimentary ball handler. He is now a guy that is out there to try to do some damage, and it takes a lot of pressure off Middleton and Giannis. So I think the Bucks are the favorite in this series. I don't know that you make them a prohibitive favorite to win it all because of the way Phoenix is playing and the position they're in right now, up 2-0, getting Chris Paul back. Certainly it looks like the Phoenix Suns are headed to the finals, and I think that one is a toss-up with a slight edge to the Bucks. But if I'm Mike Budenholzer, Giannis, this is the year you have to get it done. If you don't win it this year, I mean, I think most people are going to start to wonder if it's ever going to happen.
Yeah, it's definitely setting up for that, no doubt about it. Legs, thanks as always. Great stuff.
Got it.
All right, Tim Legler on the Goodyear Hotline. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Coming up, so surprises await in the upcoming NFL season. So who will be the biggest surprise? That's next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C, ebikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yes. You want to call me Bobby Brown? Fine. It is my prerogative. Sometimes if I want to have a take every now and then, I will do that at some point, maybe even on this show. You guys want to know how I'd reform the draft? I will tell you.
Yeah, tell us how you fix the draft.
But not right now, because my man Mike Wells, really good friend of mine, does a great job covering the Colts. So ESPN.com, so they wrote about the biggest surprises for each team from minicamp, like a player that you would say is going to be a really big surprise. Wells, he chose Carson Wentz as the biggest surprise at Colts camp, which might be surprising in itself. But as he said, the transition, according to those inside the organization, has been a smooth one for Wentz as he goes from Philadelphia to Indianapolis. So the question is, what do you guys expect from Carson Wentz?
I expect
is he a surprise? Is he going to be a surprise?
I expect a lot. I expect that he got what he wanted, which was getting back with Frank Reich, who he had success under as the quarterback coach slash offensive coordinator, play caller to a degree. And whenever you have that relationship with somebody, you get re-energized. Whatever went on in Philadelphia, whatever – I've seen many players have struggles with teams in all sports, and then they get back with familiar voices and faces, and they kind of rekindle.
They trust.
Yeah, who they trust.
Yeah.
Because a lot of time, even I'm sure he trusted Coach Peters a lot, right? Pete and him, they I'm sure Doug had it under control, but it got away, and once it got away, he lost faith in the coaching staff. He lost faith in the organization, and the only thing
they lost faith in him, his teammates did.
Teammates lost faith. Oh, it then became a whole finger point and everything. So now you're not talking about a 38-year-old quarterback trying to get back in it. You're talking about a young guy who still has a long ways to go in his career in the National Football League. Who wasn't? And I'll say it again. That damn bad in Philadelphia those 4 or 5 years he was there. He just stayed hurt, and he had some bad games. But he wasn't awful.
Well, he was an MVP candidate at one point.
But the way Philadelphia people make it sound, though, is like he was just god-awful to a no return. He had a bad year. There's no question about it. But I've seen other guys have bad years and turn it around when they have the right situation.
But see, here, Key, here's why I think there's pressure, a lot of pressure, on Carson Wentz. Number one, this is an NFL team that is built to actually win a Super Bowl. So automatically, that's been the thing that we've always talked about. We talked about it all last year. Phillip Rivers was a statue, and they still had a chance. So now you're bringing in a more mobile quarterback who's won a Super Bowl under their head coach in years previous. Okay, that's one narrative, right, that comes in along with it. The second narrative is when he was in Philly, all we heard about was the environment within the locker room, his relationship with Doug Peterson, everything happening with Jalen Hurts, the pressure, it was volatile. It wasn't conducive to him being successful. Now all the reports I hear out in Indianapolis, Alan, you and I were talking about this the other day, right? All of his teammates like him. Like the feeling, the mood, everything has changed. Now there's no excuse on why it's not going to work. We're all wondering, well, it has to work. It has to work.
And I believe it will, though, Jay.
I hear you.
Take it.
What does work mean to you, though?
Work means that he's
what are expectations for the Colts?
Oh, well, so they expectations should be one of the top teams in the AFC, right?
Yeah, they're going to be one of the top teams in the AFC, and Carson Wentz is going to be better than he was in Philadelphia and better than Phillip Rivers was a year ago. Now, go to your sport, though, Jay. How many players have you seen, scouted, evaluated, and move on from coaches that they once had before, and they go into other places, and they struggle, and then they come back to him, you go, damn, I didn't know Derrick Rose had that. Oh, Tibbs knows how to use him. Tibbs knows what to do with him. That happens in sports. It's just something that happens, especially
well, guys. It's trust.
With that's guys the, that you
agree.
Trust.
Yeah, it's got to be trust. Now let's stay on the quarterback thing though. Around the league, is there another? All right, so Wentz might be one. All right, but here's a guy that could have that surprise where he returns to form. Maybe not everybody's expecting it. Who would you say, Key? Who would you say is a guy that might have that surprise season at a quarterback?
I would say it's going to be my USC Trojan, but in Sam Darnold. Sam
really?
Darnold in Carolina is going to surprise a lot of people because I think, one, he's got Christian McCaffrey at the running back spot.
It's a pretty good weapon.
So it's a pretty good weapon to have. Then you're going back with Robbie Anderson that you had for a brief stint with the Jets. And then they got a solid defense. And Joe Brady's a learning on the job offensive coordinator that I think has done a pretty good job. So you're going into a situation where you're like, okay, he might turn out to be more than what you think. And then in the meantime, your New York Jets are playing with Zach Wilson. So Sam
a lot of panic if he has a great
Sam
season.
Sam is going
Carolina.
To play with a chip on his shoulder. And the only thing with him is just stay healthy, man. Stay healthy, and you'll be fine.
Jay, what about you? Is there a quarterback you're looking at to have that surprise season?
Well, the fan in me is praying for Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
To have that surprise season, to be what we think he's going to be, because there's a lot of pressure on him, especially after watching that video of Saquon Barkley the other day. I'm like, oh, okay. But I'll stay in the same division, man. Like, and I'm curious. I know everybody says that they have Fitzmagic there, but Taylor Heineke. I mean – Key, we watched that one game last year. I'm just curious, and some of my friends who work in that organization.
Wait, what'd you just say?
He said Taylor Heineke. Yeah. Taylor Heinicke.
Why are you shocked, Key?
I'm just trying to tell you
what I heard last year and what I've heard a little bit this offseason from people there.
I'm talking about he can play, did a good job, and a little splash moment. But I don't think he's going to overtake Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Well, that would be a surprise.
That's why he's my surprise. I've heard people rave about him inside the organization.
But you mentioned Daniel Jones. Would it be like, isn't that more the expectation than a surprise? Because if he's good, they'll be a playoff team with all the weapons that they have. Isn't this more of the expectation that Daniel Jones has to be that player? So would it be surprising if he does have a good season? Or isn't that the expectation at this point of his, where he is in his development and where that team is?
I mean, that's what I hope for. I hear what you're saying in your point. I think that's why I chose Taylor Heinicke instead of going with Daniel Jones. Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with Taylor Heinicke. I mean, there's nothing wrong with choosing him.
If Daniel Jones doesn't pan out, would you be shocked?
No.
Me either.
No, but I think so there,
feel like there is an element of surprise there gets to another level.
I think he'll be fine.
See, but I don't want him to be fine.
Yeah, but I don't think he's other than fine, OJ. I really honestly don't think.
He doesn't.
And I play with enough quarterbacks. I don't think he's anything other than fine. I don't think he's.
You think he's just?
I don't think
like,
he's sexy. I think he's just fine. There's nothing.
Well, I mean,
like I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
Operational quarterbacks can still
like,
win you.
Oh, okay, cool. We can go to dinner, but I'm not. You know. No, I'm just being honest. It's like, oh, okay,
I know. It was
cool.
The analogy
thanks, Jay.
That you
we
used.
We,
yeah.
she, we it was, was good night. It was cool. Dinner was cool, Jay. You
Thanks
know,
for the free meal.
Yeah, it was cool. You know that one, though. It was cool, man. It's free dinner.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I mean, you don't want to, but you do know.
The bill comes like, I got to go use
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm getting tired. I got to work in the morning. Yeah.
Enjoy the movie. I got to get back.
Yeah, that's what you're dealing with with Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I am curious
where
to see
Aaron
where
Rodgers,
he becomes.
You're like, hey.
Yeah.
I got another movie ticket next week.
Already trying to make plans.
Want to have a drink?
Yeah.
Post-dinner drink?
Yes, that is correct.
Well, all they need Daniel Jones to be is just fine, because if he's just fine, they should be a playoff team.
If he's fine.
The surprise would be if he sucks. That was, to me, would be the biggest surprise, right? That'd be the negative surprise.
Blind date.
If
huh?
he's really.
So either way, Alan, if he stinks or if he's great, I will be surprised.
So blind date then, huh, Jay?
Blind, hey.
I'm looking for Daniel Jones. No, I said I'm looking for Damon James.
You start changing it up. You start taking your phone out and trying to like it. That's you.
That's the blind date, huh, Jay?
That's not the picture that I saw.
Change it up real quick, Key.
I'm looking for Damon James.
And then I'm Jay-Z. Jones.
Presented by Progressive Insurance. All right, coming up. Would 25 or 26 teams the NBA really want to have a star player who's really not even looking at the rim, afraid to take a shot?
Ouch.
Also, how I would reform the draft.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh, y'all cold, man. Y'all cold for playing this song.
Ben Simmons and the Sixers going forward. Hey, can you give me a little bit of that Doc Rivers and what he would say about Ben Simmons?
Well, you know, the thing about Ben right now is we'll work with him, man. I really like the kid. He's got some tools. And, you know, Sam is going to work with him a little bit in the shooting. And you don't want to ever give up on a guy that you feel you can use. In trade bait.
That is like, trade that is bait. So on point. Like, that's a really good Doc Rivers. Now, can you do Mike Tannenbaum?
Oh, God.
Stop. Here's.
Man, here's we all stop.
Stop, man.
You gave us the vowels. You gave us every vowel there.
Alan.
What? It was funny.
Doc. Now, see,
the
that's
doc was
get.
Really
see,
good, though.
Now, I hope you. I hope that dry, shredded wheat stays stuck in your throat.
You see, but like this is what happened to Doc. I don't know if you caught it, Alan.
On that right now.
So when he first came out and was like, I'm not sure Ben Simmons is a championship point guard.
Yeah.
And then the next day, you saw him quickly change up that tone, right?
We had
because
to.
Now you have to sell. You have to sell.
So yeah, well, like, you devalued
an asset. The first statement was an emotional statement. Though.
I know.
The first one is emotion. You're still, you got that, you know, and you get to work it out, and you're done working out, and you sit there, and you still feel that steam coming off your body. That's where he was at with Ben Simmons initially. And then he realized when it calmed down, Jay, he was like, oh, look, damn. I just alerted everybody that I don't want this dude.
What did I just do?
Yeah. Key, I would be emotional, too. I mean, you could sit there. I mean, you can make a big case that this loss he had to the Hawks was worse than the loss they had to Denver last year being up 3-1.
Yeah, but it was in a bubble and
That's what I'm saying.
This one was worse.
Of the bubbles.
This one was worse.
You know that one of his star players was not himself in Paul George and admitted it afterwards, so you really weren't playing with the full roster.
That's why I'm saying you had the bubble as an excuse, Alan.
Yeah, you do.
And you have Paul George. There's no what's the excuse this year?
The excuse this year is you had another guy that was also having some issues from the neck up.
And you can't.
But everybody was healthy. I hear what you're saying, but I mean, you're up 18 in game
Embiid
5.
Wasn't
up 26
healthy.
In Embiid,
if Embiid's
six.
Healthy, he makes the layup at the end of game 4, and you know the series.
Yeah,
is
but Alan, everybody's hurt, man.
Your
come
narrative
on.
And your thought process, even if Embiid did all that, still will not change with Ben Simmons down the stretch at the end of the year.
Oh, you can't.
You still figuring out Ben Simmons. This just made it worse. And you've been in the locker room, Jay, and you've been around people and stuff like that. Ben Simmons, he can't go back in that locker room, man. They're not going to respect him. They got to move him.
That's the feeling, right? The sense is now, what do you do in Philly?
Players
what do
are
you do?
Be looking at him
you can't
like
keep these two guys together. You got a star player, the process, blah, blah, blah. Daryl Morey, who is now the president of basketball operations for the Sixers, he was talking with the media yesterday, and he looked at their situation, right, in Philadelphia, and he's thinking, like, what we have – like, everybody's talking about how we're a mess. Like, this is a bad situation. And he said most teams in the league would rather be in our place right now. Now, the near all-star is Tobias Harris, so it's a third piece that they have. That
First of all, it is a good situation. Daryl's 100% correct.
Yeah.
Yes, you came to a good situation because you got an asset you could trade. So that is a good situation.
Good point.
You said all the right things. Mm-hmm. It's a good situation, and yes – most people in the league would love to have your situation because, again, you have an asset that people would take.
Yeah, see, I think it's a good situation, but there's so much pressure because of what Philly basketball has been through. It's not the same like, hey, you have a long runway here. So it's a good situation with a shorter runway than what you expected because of the pressure that comes from how the exits have been.
But I just
and what the history has been with Joel Embiid being injured, what's been going on with Ben Simmons. So things are going in the right way, but it still doesn't mean there's not pressure.
But that runway just got longer because, I got an asset. And I can move that asset to get something in return
that's going to continue
to have that runway. And that Joel Embiid, yes. He's been injured here and there, whatever his needs, his back, whatever the case may be. But it's not like the dude can't play basketball anymore. He still is going to be able to play. You go get C.J. McCollum. You figure out whoever you could get for that asset.
Well, that's the key
part of
what he said. He said that we have a good situation. Now
good
we got,
situation.
Got to make it better.
And you make so it better.
Alan Hunt,
make
I just want to say, I, 2 days ago, I was the first one to say they would go for C.J. McCollum, and you just poo-pooed it, and now it's everywhere.
I didn't poo-poo it. I didn't hear you say it.
No, I was telling not you, Key.
I didn't hear you say it. I said it on my own.
Just because everybody copied your take doesn't mean that it's a good take.
I didn't copy his take.
A lot of GMs think it's actually a legit move. It gives both teams what they need.
I don't
know. I'm going to copy Jay's take for. I don't
copy
people.
Not you, Key. You know, Alan.
Well, you said that I took it. I heard what you said.
Jay is claiming that he said it first.
That's what I'm saying. He's claiming he said it.
And now everybody else is saying it.
I said it first. Right now.
But Jay said it the other day.
I wasn't listening to Jay the other day.
You never listen. That's the problem.
You don't listen.
Did you say that the other day?
Do you want to listen to my idea on how to fix the draft?
Because you don't like 10,000 shows, so I don't know what you want.
I guess not.
That's fair.
Fix the draft.
Only have like a minute and a half to do it.
Fix it.
Do it in a minute and a half.
I'll fix it right now.
Go.
Go fantasy auction. Forget about it. Everybody gets the same amount of money to spend. And now it's up to the players, and you have to now recruit players, just like it's a college program. That's the way it should be. Therefore, if your team is a mess, nobody's going to want to go to you. Maybe there's a player that wants to be closer to home for whatever personal reasons he has. He can control that by doing that. Maybe there's three guys that want to play together, and they all agree, out of that $10 million pool, we'll take each a little of that instead of one guy getting all that $10 million. That's the way
you
can do it.
You know, right now, everybody on social
media is probably
killing
you
right now.
What industry do we reward losing? In what industry is losing rewarded? It doesn't make any sense that when you're bad, you're rewarded by giving a good player.
Let me make it work for you. I mean,
it doesn't make sense.
You're getting killed, K-I-L-T, on Twitter.
I do not care about that. It's the right idea. And we play that
as well. When takes go wrong.
No, it is that this is – what other way? Other than forcing a player to go to a bad team.
You're not forcing anybody.
They can turn it down. Turn down the millions of dollars to go to a bad team then if you don't like it.
Not go to the league. What industry is losing rewarded at this level? At this level,
when you're really bad, we're going to give you
a really good player.
How does that make sense? If you don't like where you're drafted, tell your agent to finagle it to go somewhere different.
Many people have done that, including Eli Manning.
Well, that's how I'd fix it. Come up with a better plan if you can. How SpiderTac led one manager to try a different tact.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.